Welcome back to the Hollow Sky Podcast. We are your hosts. I'm Steven.
And I'm Kyle.
What's up, Kyle?
Not much, dude.
I just want to thank everybody for tuning in today. Thanks for hanging out, and thanks for telling all your weird friends, because that's the most important part of this show. That's your job.
Helps us
is to tell everybody.
Grow. And I love how you phrase it as, that's your job.
Yeah.
Now our listeners are employees who do not get paid.
They're volunteer workers.
Okay. All right. Yeah. That makes sense. I can get out with that.
Anyway, Kyle's got some, looks like some creepy alien encounters.
They suck. They fucked with my head a little bit.
Sick.
Yeah.
Sick. That's going to be a good time. First, we got to get through the business. Check it out. Check us out at all our social medias, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, TikTok. Just come and hang out. You know the deal. I'm not going to waste a lot of time talking about it, but we also got a Discord. Come and hang out at that. Check out our link tree, and that's where you can find all the cool stuff. So that's pretty sick. If you have a paranormal encounter you would like to share with us, Kyle's going to tell you how to do it.
You can call our phone, which is going to be 1-618-556-0837. Leave us a voicemail. Leave us a text. You can call it. It doesn't matter what time of day or night it is. I usually leave it in my dedicated entertainment room at home on silent, so you guys can do whatever you want. And then when we throw it out there, we'll throw feelers out, and we'll accept candid interviews on record nights or Friday nights. Probably record nights. Whatever it is.
Whatever we want to do.
Yeah, and then hopefully my little audio trick coming up here is going to work, to where Steve can run a live YouTube video while we do candid call-ins. So it's going to be like a whole, like, legit Art Bell style radio show.
That'd be sick.
Where you guys can leave comments down there while the interview is going on. And it'll be a little bit more interactive for everybody, which I think will be fucking awesome.
I even thought about maybe doing, like, setting up, like, Twitch streams.
Yeah.
Where we don't even have to be at the same, like, location.
Right.
We wouldn't be able to use our microphones and shit.
Right.
But we could interact with other podcast hosts. We could interact with people with, like, dope-ass encounters that we want to come on. Just something to kind of swap it up a little bit.
Yeah.
Make it sick.
Once we're not broke... and we upgrade mics, I can always take one of these mics home.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
That way, if we ever needed to do an emergency cast or whatever. Speaking of, there's going to be some work challenges coming up for me in the near future. They're getting really stupid with some new policies coming in play. I told Steve about them, and they're just asinine. Anyway, so I foresee money being tight in the near future. I was wondering if anybody would be willing to help donate a graphic, if you can come up with one, because I'm currently in the process of making me and Steve a custom Hollow Sky podcast table, and I was going to stencil on a cool logo if I can put one together, or if somebody can send me a dope one. So just think stencil if you end up
making
one and donating it to us. Yeah, I just wanted to throw that out there. Maybe somebody can give us a hand. Maybe not. I don't know. Whatever. If not, I'm fully capable of coming up with something.
And you'll be part of Hollow Sky history.
This is true. This is true. As far as submitting, we got a little far off there. You can email us, hollowskypodcast@gmail.com. Literally everything's in the show notes now. Does the Discord link stay the same?
It should. Every time I share it, I put to where it doesn't expire, but apparently it does, so I don't know how to fix it.
Because I was going to put that in the show notes, but I'd heard you
I'll
talking
send
about
you one
it.
That shouldn't expire.
Okay, cool. That way I'll just throw it in the show notes, and anybody who wants to pop into Discord, you just go to the show notes, look it up, you're ready to rock.
Yeah. We also have a P.O. box, so that's in the show notes as well, probably. Maybe not.
Yes, it is. It is.
If you want to send us dope shit through the mail, you can do that. Shout out to Spike. He's just sent us a whole bunch of dope stuff from some travels along Route 66 and from his man cave. We got a Roswell postcard, which is dope. Crater Lake postcard, this cool little Route 66 memorabilia thing. And he sent us all kinds of cool shit.
Yeah, and so I sent you the pictures from Nate when he was traveling across. Oh, yeah. We got our sticker on the infamous black mailbox.
How fucking crazy.
Which is that. We made it. That's crazy. That's what I said. I posted it in Discord. I'm like, we finally made it to the big time or the major leagues or whatever it was.
Roswell knows, or Area 51 knows about Hollow Sky.
Yeah, it's fucking awesome. Anyway, it's so cool. And then his pictures were they're worth looking at. I thought it was sick.
I posted them up on Facebook. It's right on. Sick. Oh man, people are gonna be so mad that we're not starting the episode.
I don't give a fuck. I'm sorry.
There's all different kinds of ways you can. Wow. There's all different kind of ways you can support the show. We've got a Venmo. We have a Patreon. You can go and check out those things if you'd like to support us that way.
Yeah.
You can tell your friends. The more people we get to listen to us, the better off. So tell everybody. Share it on social media. I want to see Hollow Sky everywhere.
Yeah.
Just send it.
And think about this as well. If you're adamant on doing something nice for us, I probably shouldn't talk about it yet, but I'm going to go ahead and talk about it. So there was a dude who texted the phone about sending us an item because he heard that on one episode we were cracking more monsters. And he's like, yeah, you boys can't be having that. This just isn't right. So what'd he do? He went out and got us a legit, from my understanding, I haven't received it yet, so I hope I'm not having my leg pulled. But from my understanding, it is a monster mini fridge.
Sick.
And he's sending it to us to use to keep our monsters and beverages cold.
It's going to be a good time.
That's fucking awesome. Those things are expensive as shit.
We're going to slather it with stickers. So if you got any stickers you want to send to us,
speaking of monsters,
I didn't get one yet, but any of our fellow podcasters out there want to send us some of their stickers to slather on the monster cooler, we shall do it.
I wish I could do the Macho Man Randy Savage. Oh, yeah. I would do it every time I took my first swig of a monster.
You can.
I can't. I'd do it disjustice.
Another way you can support the show. God damn, we are all over the place today. We're excited to be here, folks. I mean, it's been a minute.
It feels like I haven't talked to Steve in like 4 months. So
it's true. You can leave us 5-star rating and reviews wherever you listen to your podcast. I try to find them. People have been emailing them to me, so that's freaking sick.
Yeah, that is awesome.
Just get them to us. Shout out to Helen. She is a UK listener, and she found all of my UK 5-star ratings and reviews and just sent them over to us. So I'm going to read them.
Hopefully you get some Chinese ones.
Yeah, send them over.
That we can't read.
Well, I'll translate it.
Okay.
But today's, if you do hit us with a 5-star rating and review, I'll gladly shout you out. Today's 5-star rating and review is from our boy, Mike LC19. Says, world's dopest podcast, 5 stars. Love, love, love this podcast. Recently found you guys and have binged all your episodes in the past few weeks while at work. Feels like just hanging out with some mates, telling spooky stories, and I love it. Keep it up. Stay weird. You're both awesome. Michael from London. Well, Michael, you're awesome. So you
second
that.
Weird. I second that.
It's
we are borderline paranormal celebrities at this point.
I got nothing.
I
still can't wrap my head around that people from a different country listen to us.
I'm pretty much.
I can't wrap my head around people from a different county listening to us.
I know. But at this point, I've already accepted the fact that I am basically the Bruce Willis of paranormal. It just is. Yeah. It's just that.
And everybody who knows me knows that I'm the Nicolas Cage of my generation.
We are virtual, like we are legit identical to those people.
We are. If anybody can get to Bruce Willis or Nicolas Cage, get them on the show, we'll send you some free stickers.
I'll probably have a heart attack if Bruce Willis comes on.
I thought you were
going
to say a heart on.
Well, I mean, whatever.
Anyway, moving on, we have derailed. So send us a 5-star rating and review.
Appreciate you.
Yeah, you guys are dope.
I appreciate everyone who does anything for us.
Yeah, me
whether
too.
You
me too
or a 23-cent patron member, or you donate a quarter to Venmo, you tell us to a friend, anything.
Tell us to F off.
That too. I appreciate you.
Okay, bringing her back around. I promise. This kind of goes with Kyle's UFO encounters. It's our listener encounter of the day. It's from our friend Tyler. It's called Grandpa's UFO Encounter. He says, hey guys, came across your podcast after getting all cut up with the Confessionals and Sasquatch Chronicles, and you guys are awesome. I have a story that didn't happen to me personally, but I figured it would be something you would find interesting. Basically, About a year ago, before my grandpa passed away from cancer, I got to spend a lot of time riding around in a truck with him. He was a seed salesman to farmers, so I spent all kinds of time driving across the state. And somehow we ended up talking about UFOs and aliens. Long story short, he had two UFO encounters in his lifetime. First was relatively quick when he was a young boy and basically explained that he and his siblings saw multiple bright lights during the daytime kind of zip around the sky and then take off. The second encounter is much more interesting to me. It happened approximately sometime in the late 60s. I believe he said my mom had been born and was in the back car seat while they were on a remote highway somewhere along the western slope of Colorado. Both encounters happened in Colorado. What he described was a big ball of light that flew across the sky relatively low, and when it passed over, all the cars on the road instantly died. He said everyone got out and waited for 30 minutes to an hour before any of the vehicles would start up again, and everyone drove off. I asked him if he remembered if he could see any kind of ship or saucer, but at the time, all he said he remembered was bright lights. But I feel like when he had briefly told me this story a few years prior, he had mentioned something about a disc. He was a no-nonsense, strong Christian guy who wasn't known for making up stories. Not that proves aliens exist, but he was the kind of guy to read his Bible and pray to God every day. And he said when he asked God whether or not there was something like aliens, he said he heard a yes. That may not seem like a big deal, but there are a lot of Christians who put off the idea of aliens because they aren't necessarily directly mentioned in the Bible. Anyways, that was his story, and I believe him. Keep up all the good content, guys. Thanks. Tyler. Tyler, thanks so much for sharing your grandpa's encounter. First, I want to say I'm sorry that your grandpa passed away.
That sucks.
Yeah, that's rough.
But it was also dope that you got to like ride around with him a lot and hang out.
And so connect, yeah.
That's awesome.
Those are memories that'll stay with you forever.
Oh, for sure.
That is a wild UFO story. I love the fact that like the power surge shut the cars down, which in the 60s, you wouldn't think there would be a whole lot of electronics going on.
True.
In vehicles at the time. But I guess that doesn't necessarily mean anything. I think, did Betty and Barney Hill talk about their cars not functioning at the time?
I don't remember.
You hear that a lot. You hear that a lot
in
UFO stories.
For sure.
I wonder how, I don't know. I'm just kind of.
And you always believe those no, like you were saying, he's a no-nonsense type of guy. Like you take what those people say serious because you know they're not known for being bullshitters.
Yeah.
You know, especially in like a casual conversation situation, like you guys are just talking, you're not joking around and being, you know, idiots for lack of words. So there was no reason for him to pull your leg.
Yeah.
You got on the subject and he was like, you know what? As a matter of fact, I'll go ahead and tell you this.
Yeah. I love it.
I actually got a video of, and I hope it's real, from this dude on Instagram where he recorded the classic Black Triangle UFO.
Oh, that's sick.
Yeah. Check it out real quick. You can kind of see it up there. It's definitely got the classic Black Triangle with three white lights at the end of each tip.
Oh, that is weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's weird.
It's fucking weird, ain't it?
Weird.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Throw that up on the media.
Which is cool that people send this type of shit to us.
Yeah.
You know, we get all types of shit.
If you want to send us a personal encounter, please do. That's
absolutely
my favorite part of the show, to just kind of keep this the oral history of the phenomenon going on. Getting it out there. Because a lot of these things, you know, people, if your grandfather didn't tell you these stories, you would have never known they existed.
Yeah, they would have went to the grave with him.
Yeah, you know, so.
My dad told me about one he had when he was little.
It's important to keep these things going in the community that we put together. Not us personally, but everybody.
Right.
So, yeah, get us your creepy stories, man.
Appreciate you.
Thanks, Tyler. Be safe and stay weird out there, dog.
Hell yeah.
All right. With that being said, Kyle's about to bring it in with
some weird
wild
shit.
UFO stuff.
Yeah.
16 minutes is when the episode starts for all you people timing it.
Cool. Good job. Yeah. So like I've done an episode on from this book before. It's called UFO Frightening Encounters, but I had a little extra time one night, so I just started digging through it. And, man, some of these stories in there are ridiculously bizarre. They're not like in the context of like mutilation and stuff like that. They just, it's one of them stories that just really fucks with your brain. Speaking of which, side note real fast, the holophone from Hollow episode, it just blew the fuck up. Like, we have a lot of stories now on our phone.
Hell yeah.
So that's exciting, because yeah, I forgot about it, but when you were talking about keeping, you know, sharing our stories and keeping that alive and spreading it out, like, a lot of people seem to really enjoy that, so that's awesome. But anyways, going back to the story here, this story follows Jim, and as a kid, he was relocated a lot due to his mother's working position. I guess she worked for Toyota, and they just always were wanting her to move around. But when Jim was 16, his family finally settled in Charleston, South Carolina. This city was roughly an hour away from their grandfather's farm, so it kind of worked out. And they were excited that they'd be able to go see their grandfather once in a while. And, you know, being that Jim was 16, it was a perfect opportunity for him to start working for his grandfather. And not to mention, he could make a little money after school. He could also possibly one day take the farm over, because that was the initial set of plans, was that Jim would inherit the farm and then it would be his kind of responsibility to keep the family business running. Well, in June of 2001, Jim, his mom and brother, and also his mother's new boyfriend headed to the farm. When they got there, Jim's mother noticed how terrible the farm had actually been, or how terrible it was looked. And she was taken back by it, because she knew her grandfather, or her dad, sorry. She knew that her dad wasn't this type of man. Like, he took a lot of pride in this farm, and everything was always taken care of. It was spotless. And to pull up and see the house in shambles, the property in shambles, she knew right away that something was wrong. So they pull up, and she started trying to figure out what the hell was going on. Well, apparently, you know, they initially took it as, okay, maybe his old age got to him, or maybe there was some type of unknown illness that we hadn't known about. But the initial plan on this particular trip was for the family to spend a nice long weekend at the farm with the grandfather / dad, and then leave Jim behind. That way, Jim could start learning the way of the farm and just start figuring out. And Jim was also excited because he get to spend more time with his grandfather, which he hadn't had a lot of time doing that. So while everyone was there, it had this weird, like, I don't give a shit energy. His grandfather just didn't give a shit about anything. Like, he didn't have that, like, welcoming to see you type attitude. It was more of like, oh great, they're here. It's almost like he took it as like a nuisance that they're there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And he didn't even give a shit about his daughter's new boyfriend. Almost didn't even acknowledge that he was there at all. So it gets time for everyone to leave, and Jim's mom pulls him off to the side, and she's like, are you sure you want to stick around with your grandpa being like this? And Jim's like, yeah, you know, I'm sure everything's going to be fine. Don't worry about it, you know. I want to start learning the farm, and I do want to take this business over one day because it means something to me. So, you know, Jim's plan was to learn the ways of the farm and possibly prepare for taking it over. At the same time, Jim felt a little obligation to see what was going on with his grandfather. So that was another reason for him wanting to stay. So Jim sets his alarm early, expecting grandpa to be up and rocking, right? So Jim's alarm goes off. He gets up, gets dressed, And he's almost expecting his grandpa to either be down there cooking breakfast or out there working.
Yeah.
You know, crack of dawn shit.
How you'd expect an old school farm dude.
Yeah, right.
Be. That's how my grandpa is. He's up with the sun, down with the sun.
Right, exactly. And so he walks out of his room and he hears his grandpa in there just sawing logs, dead asleep still. So he's like, well, that's kind of weird. But whatever. So Jim goes downstairs. He gets some breakfast real quick. And to be a little bit of a go-getter, he's like, you know what? I'm going to go outside. I'm going to start talking to some of the hands and see if I can't help somebody. Just start figuring something out. So Jim walks over to this worker, and his name was Iggy. And he starts to help with the horses. And Jim starts making small talk. You know, he's like, you know, what's going on with Grandpa? Like, do you notice? Have you noticed things changing with him? And Iggy's like, yeah, dude. The past few months, your grandfather has been off pretty bad. It all started when animals started going missing. And Jim's like, well, I didn't hear anything about this. And everyone, you know, assumed that it was because the animals were, you know, stolen. They escaped, or maybe a wild animal got a hold of them and took them, whatever. Iggy starts to explain how these animals would just mysteriously vanish in the middle of the night without any trace. So Jim's grandpa installed heavy-duty locks on all the animal stalls. You know, it was step number one to ensure that these animals weren't getting out or being stolen. But the animals kept going missing. At this point, everyone on the farm was kind of baffled, right? They're like, all right, we've updated the locks on it. There's no way people are breaking in here. The locks are still there and locked in the morning. So what the fuck? Grandpa takes it up a notch. He's like, all right, I'm just going to install security cameras around the property. This is where it gets fucked up, gives me goosebumps. After he installs the cameras, it seemed to deter whomever was taking the animals for a little bit, right? But two or three days later, the vanishings began happening again. So Grandpa started to play back the video footage of those nights. When he did, at random times throughout the night, the video would turn to static. Which reminds me
of
the person from nearby.
I knew you were going to say
in the encounters he was having. Because the same exact description.
Yeah.
And I'm like, gosh, that's creepy. So at this point, Grandpa is really pissed. Because he's not catching anybody on the cameras. It seems to be that the cameras are on the fritz. And he's just kind of besides himself. So he's like, all right, I'm going to up you again. So Grandpa goes out, hires somebody to monitor the property all night long alongside the cameras. The very first night, the worker quit and said the place was cursed. And that's literally all they got out of him.
No.
There was no further detail on why he thought it was cursed. Or anything of that nature. He just said, this place is cursed. I'm the fuck out of here. I'm not doing this anymore. So during Grandpa's paranoia, the work began to pile up and customer relations began to fail. Grandpa was so focused on figuring out who was stealing from him that he completely abandoned every aspect of the farm. He was just laser focused on finding the truth. Now, at this time, Jim had been talking the story, or Jim had been talking to Iggy for quite some time, and he basically forgot all about Grandpa. And he's like, oh shit, I need to go check on Grandpa and, you know, let him know that I'm still here and et cetera, et cetera. So he's like, all right, Iggy, I got to bounce for a minute. I need to go check on Grandpa and, you know, just say good morning to him, whatnot. Jim goes back to the house, he opens the front door, and he starts to hear mumbling. And he's like, what? okay, whatever. So he walks up close to the door, kind of starts to listen in, which is this to be his grandpa's bedroom, and he keeps hearing this mumbled chatter coming through the door. And then all of a sudden it kind of changes to this panic-induced yelps alongside mumbled speech. So Jim thought, something's wrong with my grandpa. He's having a heart attack or a stroke. Something medically wrong is going on. So Jim blasts right through the door. And as he does this, Jim's brain explodes into a million pieces.
Great.
What he sees is his grandfather's body floating about a foot above the bed. His grandpa was face down. So, like, imagine if he was sleeping on his belly and then he just started to float a foot above the bed, right? The mumbling continued, and at this moment, his grandpa's head turned to face Jim, but his eyes were still closed.
Nope.
That's what I'm saying. When I read that, I'm like, get the fuck out of here.
Nope.
All of a sudden, his grandpa dropped back to the bed. After about 5 seconds, his eyes shot open. And at this point, it was almost like grandpa was unacknowledged of anything. He looks right at Jim and goes, what the fuck are you doing in my room?
Dude, I thought you were going to say when he looked at him, he was going to start saying some weird shit. Like,
no.
Like the fourth kind when they were talking through people that were.
This story would have been a lot scarier.
I'm like, because you said, like, it's you describing the scene is a horror movie.
Yeah.
You know,
oh, it gets better. Grr. It's not like the encounter doesn't like take any more turns, but his grandpa delivers a one-liner at the end.
It almost, that scene in particular almost blurs the line between exorcism encounters.
Mm-hmm.
And
for sure. Yeah. I didn't even think about that.
Because a lot of times you hear in exorcism accounts.
Oh, that gives me fucking goosebumps, dude, thinking about that.
Levitation and.
Yeah, for sure. And weird tones, mumbling.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely.
Well, that muddies the water a bit.
So, you know, grandpa's pissed that Jim's in his room. He's like, what are you doing in my room? Get out now. And Jim's like, grandpa, what the fuck happened to you? Like, what's going on? And his grandpa just kept yelling, get out. So Jim, you know, ends up listening to his grandpa. He leaves, goes into the kitchen to gather his thoughts. And not long after this, grandpa comes downstairs, goes in the kitchen. And Jim notices 4 evenly spaced puncture marks in the back of his neck just below the hairline. Jim's like, grandpa, what the fuck is that on your neck? And literally, you know, with the same grumpy ass old man attitude, grandpa basically tells him, mind your own fucking business. You need to go outside and help one of the other employees, Maria. So Jim goes out. He spends the afternoon busting his ass out there with Maria when all of a sudden he hears his mom's voice calling him. And, you know, he's really confused. He's like, what the fuck? Well, he turns, and sure enough, his mom is walking towards him. And she says,
hey, Holocult, the weather's getting nice, and you know what that means. It's cryptid hunting season. And the first rule to cryptid hunting is good footwear. That's why we're excited to announce our partnership with Tecovas Boots. When you're out hunting the Dogman or stalking Chupacabra, you don't have time to break in boots. That's why Tecovas is so nice. They have first wear comfort. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with their styles when you're out hunting cryptids.
And let me tell you, their styles are on point. I've always considered getting me a pair of snakeskin boots, and their pair is mint. They also have crocodile boots, caiman boots, ostrich boots, regular leather boots. They have it all, and it's ridiculously awesome. You can even stop by the local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and a friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. So just imagine yourself getting a pair of legitimate snakeskin Hollow Sky branded boots. How awesome would that be?
Nothing is going to intimidate a dog man like a nice pair of gator skin boots. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots as well as free returns and exchanges and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Grandpa, you know, just called and said that he didn't want any more visitors at the farm and for me to come get you. And Jim was kind of confused. Like, what the heck, man? So, you know, they walk up to Grandpa, and Grandpa looks Jim in the eyes, gives him one of them old school firm handshakes, and he looks Jim in the eyes and says, "I wish you could understand." That was the last time Jim ever saw his grandpa or the farm. Like that, just, I know that's a simple statement. I wish you could understand, but that is terrifying to me. He's acknowledging Jim's questions in that moment without acknowledging anything.
Yeah. Yeah.
So his grandpa knows that something fucked is going on, and his grandpa might even know what's going on.
He just doesn't want Jim to have any part of it.
Right. He doesn't want anybody to have any part of
it. He didn't go into any detail about like what happened to his
family. Nope, that was the end of it. Because
I'm gonna assume that
Jim never
probably just lived out the rest of his days there.
Yeah, I guarantee it.
He didn't just like disappear.
You're right. And
because that's where my brain went.
No. I don't think that was the case either.
He got abducted. They took the whole goddamn farm.
I also forgot to mention that, you know, when the animals were going missing, that's why he was so short-staffed. At first, he thought it was the staff stealing from him, so he started firing people.
Yeah,
and that's one another reason why the farm was so in shambles, because his paranoia was so high, and he only ended up keeping a couple people there.
That makes
sense. And I would assume, I honestly would assume,
it's that, like, old school mentality.
Oh, yeah. It's somebody's fucking fault.
Yeah.
But I would assume that after this incident, Grandpa probably got rid of everybody. And like you said, lived his days out there dealing with whatever he was dealing with.
Yeah.
Which almost makes you wonder, was Grandpa scared that they were going to do this shit to somebody else? So Grandpa was basically, he was the shield that protected everybody.
Yeah, that's.
Or was Grandpa, did he have this like understanding where he was like, no, this is where I want to be?
Oh fuck, I didn't think about that.
It's got to be one of those two, right? It has to be.
Like I just keep attributing it to my grandpa, and I think my grandpa would have been like, you know,
like our grandpas would have been the shield.
Yeah, that's
yeah, for sure, without question.
He would keep it low key, but he would get everybody out of the way.
Yeah,
like,
right.
Like firing people when in all actuality he was just getting them off the property.
Yeah, which I mean that's a good fucking point. That's a great point. It's I don't know. It's a fucked up one. Like I said, it's subtle. The story was subtle enough, but it has that like that mind fuck to it, where you're just you like you said, you picture that scene where Grandpa's floating, and you like the last, like I can only imagine seeing all that, seeing puncture marks in the back of my grandpa's neck, and then
that's weird too.
The last thing I hear from him is he shakes my hand and just goes, "I wish you could understand," and then that's the last time I ever see my grandpa.
Yeah, that's fucked up. I don't know. It almost hits different, it being an older person.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, not that anybody has any more credibility than anyone else, but
and ironically enough, like in the first, the listener submission of the episode.
Yeah.
Like it's kind of weird that they lined up so well that
you almost,
like, you pictured like the old school, like the old school farmer and dude's grandpa. They, most of them are a no nonsense type of person.
Straight,
like,
shooters.
Yeah.
And to have, I don't know, just to have him acknowledge that he knows something fucked up is going on.
Yeah.
Is, I don't know. It just hits, I guess it hits
it's
a little
weird,
bit different.
Man. It's weird. Like when I read that story, I'm like, fuck, that's heavy. And then this next story that I'm going to tell you is equally as mind-fucking.
Great.
So this one here, this one follows Gretchen. And at the time, she was about 23 and looking for work. She wanted to work for a major magazine. And she was in college. I assume she ends up getting a call from New York, from some magazine in New York, after she graduated, which of course just made her fucking day. Some of Gretchen's sorority sisters actually knew people in New York. So one of them's like, hey, I know this girl named Jen. She's actually looking for a roommate. So I'll put you in contact with her. Maybe you can link up and have a place to live. So Gretchen's like, oh, this is perfect. This is perfect. So she gets a hold of Jen, and Jen was staying in Greenwich Village. Jen was a very quiet person, mostly minding her own business. She was an event organizer, which took up most of her time. So when it came to being in the apartment, Jen actually wasn't around all that much. She was just busy constantly. Gretchen said that the apartment was actually rather big for someone living in New York, so she assumed that Jen came from a wealthy family or had a pretty decent paying job. But Gretchen noticed right out of the gate that being in this apartment after the sun went down started throwing up red flags right from day one. Like, she felt really weird in this apartment.
How do you break that to your friend?
Well, like, her and Jen aren't actually friends.
Sick.
They're just acquaintances.
Like, yo, your apartment's sick, but also creepy.
Yeah. And Jen said that, Gretchen said that it was even worse when she was trying to fall asleep. Now, after a few months, things started to go Gretchen's way. Where she was working, they decided to promote her from an unpaid intern to a paid assistant. Well, winter came and Jen returned from a work trip, right? And that particular trip took her to the Caribbean. But Gretchen noticed how pale Jen still was after spending a week in the Caribbean. But like I said, Jen and Gretchen weren't close, so Gretchen's like, you know what? I'm not even remotely comfortable with calling her out, like why she doesn't have a tan. You know, maybe she stayed in the conference rooms the entire time or whatever. You know, didn't really look too much into it. But that very same night, Jen came into Gretchen's bedroom around midnight, and she asked if she could sleep in bed with Gretchen. So that's kind of weird. Like,
that is weird.
They don't dislike each other. You know, Gretchen makes the comment like, you know, if Jen invited me to go out, I'd go out with her. Or I would actually like if Jen would come out with me and my friends. But Jen just doesn't seem like that type of person. She's very to herself. You know, I just don't feel like she would want to. So it is rather alarming when, you know, Jen comes in and she's like, yo, can I sleep in bed with you? You know, and Gretchen was a little taken back and extremely caught off guard, especially just waking up to that. But she noticed that Jen's arms were shaking, so she moved over instantly and let Jen crawl into bed with her. And Gretchen, you know, of course, as almost anyone would do, asked, you know, well, what's going on? Like, what's got you so upset? And Jen, for the most part, just blew it off and just insisted it was a bad night terror. And just like that, before Gretchen could ask any more questions, Jen was passed the fuck out. Done. Lights out. When Gretchen wakes up the next morning, Jen's gone. She had got up early to go to work. So that day, Gretchen kind of, you know, starts running things through her head. And how bizarre that night had gone. Because those, like I said, those two weren't close at all. The next night, though, the exact same thing happens. Gretchen tried to ask again what was going on, but the same excuse, and Jen falls right back to sleep. Gretchen said it was like she was just utterly drained once she got into the room, just instantly falling back to sleep once she was in the bed. Night after night, this keeps happening for a few days. You know, Gretchen wanted to pry for answers super bad, but her instinct was telling her not to pry. Just let Jen tell you when she's ready. So for the next week, continues. Night after night after night, Jen keeps coming in. Gretchen woke to Jen in her bed one night, sound asleep at about 1:30 a.m. Now, this, you know, in this particular time, Jen doesn't wake Gretchen up. She just crawls into bed with her. Gretchen noticed that the hallway light was creeping through the space from the bottom of your door to the floor. Like, she had a nice little gap there, right?
Nope. Not right.
I can feel my anticipation reading this in your face right now.
Yeah,
I was reading this for the first time.
I know what's going to happen.
Right.
And I hate it.
So, one, you know.
It gives me goosebumps.
Gretchen's like, all right, Jen must have got up, left the hallway light on when she was coming into Gretchen's room. Being the light sleeper that Gretchen was, she knew that she was going to have to get up and turn the light off.
Fuck that light. Just leave it alone.
That's what I'm saying. Just turn the other way. As she was scooting her way off the bed, she noticed quick movement break through the light.
Oh, my God.
Instantly, she feels a knot in her throat. So she's fucking confused right now. Gretchen was sitting on the bed trying to remember which floorboards creaked because that apartment was old. And anywhere, Gretchen claims anywhere.
Fuck them floorboards. I just jump out the window. Say, see ya.
Well, Gretchen claims that it was a super old building, and you couldn't walk around in this room or this building without you making shitloads of noise. It was impossible.
I would be having Jen's asleep ass body as a human shield when I'm opening the door up.
So Gretchen's sitting there on the edge of the bed trying to remember which floorboards creaked. All she wanted was to make it to the phone and call the police because she knew it was only her and Jen in the house. But then it dawns on her that she hadn't heard any noises accompanying the movement she had seen. Like I said, this apartment was crazy old and you just couldn't walk around without making noises. So Gretchen is crazy confused on what to do now. So she starts scanning the room. All right, what's a weapon that I can use? I need something.
There you go. Now you're talking.
But she comes up empty. How?
Never mind.
How you come up with empty? I mean, anything. Pick up a lamp and hit a motherfucker with it. Anything. Hell, if you're
strong
enough.
Samurai sword. Yeah. We know that works.
Exactly. Exactly. So she decides she's going to wake Jen up. She nudges Jen. Jen raises her head and was looking at Gretchen almost like with that look like, bitch, why did you wake me up?
Go back to sleep.
And Gretchen asked if she had any friends staying over. And in that moment, Gretchen literally saw the color leave Jen's face, and instantly Jen looked at the door. When she saw the light coming from under the door, Jen began to scream bloody murder.
Oh, great. Let them know where you're at.
She frantically, like, she climbs over Gretchen in bed, and all the while, like, it's a terrified climb because Gretchen's like, she ended up kneeing me in the ribs super hard.
Just frantic.
Yes, just frantically getting over, trying to get as far away from that door as possible.
Hell no.
She crouched in the corner with her head down. She was shaking, and tears were just running down her face. So at this point, Gretchen's like, all right, fuck it. Like you said, they know we're in here now. Gretchen gets up, goes over, grabs the phone. She sits beside Jen on the floor. Because at, like I said, at this point, she knows exactly, or she knows whoever's in the house knows they're in there.
Bro, I'd be piling shit in front of that door.
Same. The emergency operator answers the call. Jen is screaming at this point as both of them see someone's feet float toward the middle of the space between the door.
Like in the room?
No, whatever it is on the outside.
I got you. They're seeing it under the door.
Yes.
Okay.
The figure, I got you. The figure was still, almost like it was observing the room through the door, even though the door was closed. She verified the address with the operator. And at this point, the operator's like, okay, I know something is going on here.
Yeah, there's a woman screaming bloody murder on the other end.
So she tells Gretchen, all right, listen, we got two officers on the way. And Jen is just clinging to Gretchen's arm for dear life. And at this point, Gretchen's like, all right, Jen knows what the fuck is on the other side of that door. The way she's acting, she knows what the fuck's going on here. So at this point, Jen starts to ask, why would they be here? Why would they be here?
Oh my God. I would just crawl down the fire escape.
No, dude, I'm with you. I would be trying to jump. I would be finding any way out.
I wouldn't even inquire what the fuck she's talking about. As soon as she said, why would they be here? I'd say, I don't give a shit why they'd be here. I'm getting the fuck out of here. That's what it would be. I'd say,
fuck these things.
I'd say, why am I here? And then I'd climb out the window.
Oh, God, it's so bad. So Gretchen sits there and watches this. Like, you're just, unless you're me or Steve and you're jumping out the window, anyone else is going to be staring at that crack.
Jen makes it 100 times worse
by screaming,
being in the corner freaking out.
I know.
Like, I can handle a shadow. Like, I could get myself into the mindset where I'd be like, all right, chances are I'd be okay against whatever's on the other side of the store. Her freaking the fuck out behind me, it's just gonna make me go crazy.
Oh yeah.
And then I'm just gonna open the door.
Well, like you said, you lose all element of surprise because she started screaming like a fool.
They know we're here now.
Yeah, you might as well just have clapped shots off through the door. But anyways, Gretchen is just laser focused on the spot between the door.
It gives me anxiety.
And
I'm not even there.
At this point, all of a sudden, the light goes out. Boom.
Even worse.
So Gretchen just sit, like, both of them ends up sitting there and just being as quiet as they can, listening for any type of noises throughout the house. And a few minutes later, they heard knocking on the door, followed by someone announcing they're the police. So Gretchen finally works up the courage, and she's like, all right, I know that I can make it to that front door. Because in her head, she's thinking that there is somebody outside the door waiting to snag her when she comes out, which I would be too.
Yeah.
So she just like blasts through the doors as fast as she can, gets to the front door, opens the door. The police come in. They check the entire building. There's nothing to be found.
Of course.
Nothing. So the police end up leaving. And the police were real kind to him. They said they would have somebody come back and kind of just check up on him for a little while to make sure everything's okay. After all that was said and done, Gretchen sits down next to Jen on the couch and asks, she's like, all right, at this point, you're telling me what the fuck is going on. She's like, Jen, you know, looks at the floor and flat out told her, during my Caribbean work trip, I was abducted. And right out of the gate, Gretchen's like, okay, somebody kidnapped her. You know, it happens, whatever. But Jen started to describe her captors. And she says that they were beings and that they were tall, skinny, unclothed, and communicate with her via telepathy. Gretchen, at this point, is like, what? What? Like, her mind is melting at this point. But she knew that Jen wasn't lying because of the amount of fear Jen was experiencing. She just was utterly convinced that Jen was not lying, because even telling her the description and the truth of what's going on, Jen's in tears. Jen told Gretchen that whatever these things are, they didn't walk around. They hovered a few inches off the ground, which was something Gretchen's brain couldn't process, because she had seen that through the space between the doors. She saw whatever it was, the feet floating above the fucking ground. Jen says that these beings could also illuminate their surroundings at will, which also makes sense to Gretchen, considering how it looked like the hallway light was on. But the girls ended up staying up the rest of that night. Oddly enough, things start to go back to normal after that. Jen started sleeping in her own bed. Then Jen ends up finding a dude, and she starts spending all of her time with him when she wasn't working. Now, Gretchen then met another coworker who she hit it off with, and that coworker had an apartment closer to their job. So Gretchen bounced on Jen, moved in with this other coworker, and it wasn't long. You know, her and Jen stayed in contact for a couple months after that, but then it just kind of
went apart. Yeah.
And the last thing in this story, Gretchen said, and I quote, "To this day, I still can't help but wonder if on the other side of that door stood extraterrestrial life."
Well, it probably did, Gretchen.
Like, when I think this was, I'm almost 100% positive this was the story that as soon as I was done with it, I texted you and I said, fuck alien stories.
Yep. Yeah, I agree.
Because I'm on it. Like, my anxiety.
It's weird.
Would be I would be horrified to see light on. And it wouldn't even have to be fucking aliens, but just seeing a shadow moving on the other side of that door. And I know damn good and well, there's nobody else in this fucking house.
Yeah, that's horror, I will be terrified. Movie 101.
And then the fact that you wake up, like if you were in my room and I'm like, Steve, did you have motherfuckers stay in the night? And you instantly look at the door and start screaming, I'm going to go, oh, fuck. We're in trouble here.
It's weird that Gretchen got the heebie-jeebies the first time she went into the apartment, too. Like, maybe it wasn't the first time Jen had been abducted.
Probably not.
Being in the Caribbean.
I wouldn't think so. My gut says that, like, because that's where I was at when I first started reading the story, especially knowing that the book is about aliens. When she said she had that creepy vibe, That's where my brain went to.
Like, why else would you include that?
Right.
If it wasn't.
Like, I feel like Jen had definitely been visited before.
Yeah.
And I honestly didn't expect that would have been Jen's quote-unquote first encounter. I thought that maybe she was going to say that this has been a ring of abduction. Like, these happen frequently to me.
Yeah.
It's even more bizarre that after that night, they never came back. That they know of. Yeah. I don't know. Like I said, it was one of them stories that
maybe her
the
maybe
mental them, picture destroys it, you.
Yeah, maybe them acknowledging.
It's possible.
Could be. Or maybe they upped their game to where Jen just stopped remembering.
Yeah. That would be the best case scenario.
I don't know, but you definitely made my extraterrestrial anxiety go up a notch.
I told
Kyle.
These ones were fucking creepy. They were fucking creepy.
Fucking hate aliens.
Just the mental image from those two stories fucks my brain.
Because you know what? You never, ever, ever just get a story where they're like, you know what? These dudes were chill.
They were chill. No, you're right.
No.
You're right.
It's always probing. It's always
except for the ones that were at Stardust. Apparently they were okay.
Yeah, because they were fighting off the shitty ones.
Some of them were nice, but some of them were assholes.
Yeah, it's just because the assholes were interfering with whatever nefarious the nice ones wanted to
do. That's true.
It's never like...
Yeah, you never... At least I don't hear the stories, like you said, like where one shows up and they're like, yo.
Even the Reddit dude who was like, hey, they were chill, comes back around and is like, they weren't that chill.
Not so chill.
No.
Like, why can't they just be like...
They were murdering people, kind of, and it's just there's going to be a big alien race war now.
Like
and,
why can't it just be like they show up at your crib...
And bring monsters.
And they're like, Kyle, Steve, you guys are pretty cool. We like what you're doing.
Have this monster.
Yeah, and Kyle, you're cured of all your ailments.
And you're rich.
I mean, I'm not going to say
You're rich with alien money.
I'm not going to say no. But it would be cool if they were chill. But
they're never chill.
No, probably because they look at us like we're dumb as fuck.
Yeah, because we're never chill.
That's true.
They're like, why would we be chill if they're not chill? So
yeah,
everybody's getting a probe.
They have the mentality that, well, if you were able to capture me, you would probe me. So yeah, therefore, I'm going to do the same thing to you.
Before.
Yeah.
God, I hate it.
See how you guys like it.
I don't like it.
I don't know. Those were two stories that I found that I thought were worth sharing because they are terrifying.
Oh, I will fight demons all day long.
No.
I just do not.
No.
I am not down with extraterrestrials.
I am on the other end of the spectrum. I flip that. I would rather fight an alien than a demon. I'm dead serious. I'm dead serious.
Poll. Everybody go to wherever social media is. And you know what? I'm going to put it up on Facebook. Who would you, if you had to fight one, which would you rather fight, a demon or an alien?
I think my side wins.
You think people would rather fight an alien?
Mm. I think it's because demons are too hard to get rid of.
How the fuck do you get rid of an alien?
I don't fucking know. Well, you hit it with a samurai sword.
I forgot about that.
And then the world's the man, a samurai sword just goes to the roof.
Yeah. You're welcome, samurai sword producers.
I need to buy into samurai stock.
We need to get old boy from
a job.
Stardust. Well, we need to get a job too. We need to get old boy from Stardust out here and be like, okay, so if you can fight aliens with samurai swords, what do we use to fight demons? That's what we need to know. Zach Bagans, if you listen to this podcast,
which you probably don't,
which you could though, you might,
but you probably don't.
Probably don't, but you could. What do we use to fight demons? I keep asking you on Twitter, but you're never talked back to me. So
my buddy said he's going to make us super soakers full of like moonbeam charged water,
moonshine.
Yeah, and he's like, that's what we can fuck up Cemetery X with.
The police will show up and they'll be like, what do you have in these super soakers? Moonshine. And they're like, get out. You're coming with us.
You go to jail.
Oh, God. Anyway, we're going to end it there. Super soakers full of moonshine.
Yes.
Fighting demons. God, if you have a super soaker full of moonshine, you have more demons than I can possibly think
of. You might
as
well just throw a Zippo on the end of it and make a flamethrower.
Anyway, thanks for hanging out with us today. What a wild show.
Yeah, I read like an idiot.
You did good.
I read like an idiot.
I was like in there.
Not to mention I'm kind of zippy on Monster right now, so it's making me a little like
a little loopy.
Yeah.
I hated your episode, so thanks for that.
Yeah, no problem.
I don't like that at all. So thanks for hanging out with us. Make sure you tell all your friends. I want to thank all of our Venmo people who've been pumping money in the Venmo and everybody on Patreon for supporting the show. We love you guys. And
we're broke as fuck.
There's so many that I've just completely fallen behind shouting out everybody, but we love you all. Where are we going? Check us out at our social medias. If you got a scary story, send them to us. And until next time, stay safe, stay weird. And if you are in a house and your roommate starts screaming about aliens, just leave. I know that you guys are cool. I know that they're probably a good person. But you know what? You need to take care of number one and just get the hell out of there.
Best advice of the year.
That's what I would do. See ya.